Welcome to Get a Grip with Shane Bacon, a production of iHeartRadio.
Hey, welcome to the Get a Grip podcast. It is full swing episode 2, win or go home. This is full swing tonight with Get a Grip and Scratch. I'm Shane Bacon, and I'm joined by Claire Rogers. If you don't know Claire, she is a young, awesome journalist at golf.com. You can find her on social media at K Claire Rogers. She does something called the Rogers Report that drops weekly on golf.com. Definitely worth your time. Claire, I feel like this episode would be heavily involved in a Rogers Report if you were doing report after each episode. This felt a little bit more like what I wanted.
This was right up my alley.
Oh, like, yes.
As I'm watching, I was like, I cannot wait to talk about this. So I feel really good. And before we get into anything, you may recognize the voice in this episode. You, Shane Bacon. We had a couple, what was it, during the Masters voiceover moments throughout it.
So I had it is really weird to say sometimes you're like, is that me or not? It's kind of a weird thing to say, but it absolutely happens. And there's definitely people out there that sound similar to you as well. So sometimes you're like, is that me or not? There was a moment in episode 1 that I thought might be me, but I didn't do the PGA Championship, but it also could be audio they cut from anywhere else. Right. It was just a setup line. Like, this is the second round, but yeah, I think I popped in a couple times. I, of course, was a part of the Masters coverage and got to do Tiger's Around throughout the week on Masters.com. So, yeah, they got a little bacon in episode 2. Nobody, I was not accredited. I'm not going to be on the final scripting, but yeah, I was in there. I want to start with this because I'm calling this the Brooks Koepka episode. Is that okay with you?
It's okay with me. Yes.
Okay. I do want to just start with this though. Ricky's world ranking improved. Did you see that? He was 146 in episode 1. He's 113 here, trending in the right direction. I'm going to keep an eye on Ricky the whole series to make sure his world rankings going the right way.
He'll be world number 1, maybe. I'm just kidding.
That's the last episode is Ricky. So we have segments that we get to at the end of these episodes, recap everything that happens on the Netflix series. But I wanted to ask you first and foremost, like, what was your takeaway? Because it was really kind of both Brooks and Scotty, and also, you know, the Masters, which is the biggest event in golf.
Okay. First thing is that I feel, and we'll get into more of this, but so conflicted about Brooks. I thought this was going to kind of give me some clarity because he was more vulnerable in spots than he has ever been. But then he'll just say something that kind of negates it. Like, oh, I don't know who won the Masters. You know who won the Masters.
I know.
And I get angry. I shouldn't get angry, but I don't like that. So again, I just feel more conflicted about Brooks. Not that I don't think I spend a lot of time thinking about Tiger Woods. I don't spend a lot of time thinking about Brooks Koepka, but when I do, it's like I'm butting heads within my mind. And then another takeaway is just that the Schefflers are amazing. My sister and I have this thing that we do. We've never talked to them in our entire lives. It's our people who live like 2 streets away. We call them the perfect family. Okay. Mom and dad and 2 daughters. And we see them on walks all the time. We'll run into them getting ice cream. We have never said a word to them. It's been 20 years. I don't know how we've never overlapped. And Ellen will be, my sister will be like, oh, I saw the perfect family today. And I'll say, oh my gosh, what were they up to? How are they? I think that even if the Schefflers were not in the world of golf, in their neighborhood, they've got to be the perfect family, where they're just these nice people going around on walks, getting kombucha, and they just seem like really good people. And that's kind of how I relate them back to what I've seen in my neighborhood. So those 2 things would be my big thing.
I echo everything you said there. I've had a really tough relationship over the years with Brooks Koepka, just simply because I want him to be something, and he seems like he's trying so hard to be something else. I mean, there was a moment in there, and I'll get to this later in the segment, but he was talking about the WM Phoenix Open feeling like a real sport, you know, and you're like, bro, you play professional golf. Like, you're one of the best golfers of this generation, and your historical run in 17 and 18 is going to be remembered for so long, and what you did in those US Opens and PGAs. And by the way, you almost beat Tiger Woods at the Masters. This is a real sport. I think what I've struggled so much with, Claire, is Brooks Koepka and his identity, because I feel like Brooks Koepka struggles with his identity. And I went through this early in my career when I was basically put in the golf hole of media, which is not a bad place to be. But I was like, I'm going to write about every sport. And I did it at AOL, and I did a little bit of it at Yahoo. And then I went to Fox, and I had an opportunity to do some NFL broadcasting and some college basketball broadcasting. And I saw this whole other world. And at times I would almost poo-poo golf, you know, like, oh, I'm in on the golf space, right? I want to be with these people. I want to be with this sport. And I had to remind myself as I got older that golf is what made me who I am. Golf is what made Brooks Koepka who he is. And he is a real athlete in a real sport. And he's one of the best in the world at doing that. And I don't understand. And why I get so frustrated with him is why he doesn't understand that that's good enough.
Exactly. And I wrote that down as a quote I really didn't like, because what do you mean it feels like a real sport? Is the Masters not good enough for you? Is the four majors, does that not feel like a real sport moment for you? I don't know. And I don't know if that's him trying to, even I've noticed the way he talks sometimes, he's like mumbling and talking really slow like this. And I'm like, dude, just like quit it for a second. Let's acknowledge that this is a cool game. It's okay to really like golf, especially in the golf world. No one's going to shun you for that. You're so good at it. Tiger already made it cool. You don't need to worry about it being cool or not anymore. So I don't know. It's just like I remain torn on this man, and I don't think I'll ever figure him out.
Yeah, I asked him. I remember at 2017, I was doing the interviews for Fox at the U.S. Open, his first major he won. So when you do interviews, just for people at home that don't know a ton about the TV side of things, when you're doing interviews, you either tape them or you do them live. And I guarantee you, Claire, you'd know who gets the live treatment and you know who gets the tape treatment. And Tiger Woods is a live interview. Ricky Fowler in 2017 was a live interview. Koepka, especially early on the week, was not a live interview. You'd sit down and you interview him. And I remember I asked him a question on Friday about winning the U.S. Open, and this was taped. And he kind of looked at me, same cadence, same voice, same approach. He kind of looked at me and said, "It's Friday, bro," was his answer to my question about winning the U.S. Open. And I remember my producer in my ear right when he said it, because it was taped, he goes, "Well, this one's not making air." And I was thinking I had the same thing, right? Like, this is not going to be an interview that makes it to live broadcast. But he always has had this. This isn't something that came with the success. And I thought you really nailed something, Claire, there. You said Tiger Woods already made golf cool. If Koepka had come around 25 or 30 years ago and acted like this, I would at least understand where he was coming from. But the thing about golf in 2023 and 2022, when they were filming this, was golf is a sport that everybody thinks is cool now. And athletes think cool, and they want to play it, and they want to get better at it. DJ Khaled's posting golf videos all the time. And this is a guy that's ending the Grammys with one of the more spectacular, you know, concerts and songs we've ever seen at the Grammys. And this guy's obsessed with golf, and he wants his shoes to have spikes on them. Like, this sport is past what it used to be. It's cool. And if you're one of the best golfers in the world, that's freaking cool. Like, just embrace it, because this is a time in this sport where you can be both a professional golfer and a cool professional athlete. And for whatever reason, Koepka continues to wrestle with that.
Right. Like, look at Dustin Johnson. He is the perfect example of a cool person who is a spectacular athlete, and including obviously golf, but he's got basketball, he's got swimming, and he knows that golf is cool. I don't know. It just, be the best in your job, in your field of work, and then be like, yeah, but I don't even like it. It's not a big deal. I don't know. It's kind of tired, I think, by this point. So
a little bit, a few things from the episode that I loved, that I took away from it. One, speaking of cool, Koepka just casually tossing up 225 with no spot. I'll see that. By the way, Brooks, I know you're a big dude. I know you're strong, but I mean, 225 is 225 at a gym. Like, if a guy's doing unspotted two plates of 45 on bench press, like, you know, the guy is a legitimate workout dude. And so I was impressed by that. Koepka's dog does exactly what Harlow does, Claire, when I putt around the house. Harlow could be on the couch. She could be sleeping. She could be napping. She could be eating. The moment that ball leaves my putter face, Harlow is attacking the golf ball. And it was nice to see Koepka's dog does the same thing.
That's good. So the weird, like, something I noticed, or just kind of an observation, was I felt like with Brooks's, well, fiance at the time, Jenna Sims, it had kind of like a reality TV feel to it. Like her showing him clothes, here's what I think I'm going to wear, the bikini, a lot of skin showing, saying she slid into his DMs, like a totally different feel that if maybe the first episode wasn't for you, the second episode might be more or might be less, because it is very different from the first episode. She's, you know, they're laying in their bathing suits by the pool, the sunglasses that say like bride and stuff. It is totally a different feel than I bet a lot of the other episodes will have.
Epic, epic 30 seconds at the pool. Just Jenna in the bathing suit. That would get blurred out, by the way, if you're watching Bachelor. Like, that would be a blurricle on her ass if that was not on Netflix. His golfer's tan was epic. I mean, it wasn't quite Stuart Sink's head, but it was pretty severe. I mean, you know, you play golf 6 days a week, you're going to have that. But I just, you're right. The whole 30 seconds of the pool. Like, I feel like the Koepkas have always wanted to be the Kelseys. And this was like their first step into being the Kelseys. Was here we go. Yes. We can do this now. Now we're going to get the reality side.
I think Jenna was loving it.
Yes.
And you know what? I probably would too. I'm not like hating on her or anything, but it was, you could tell she was ready for this moment. Her sit down interview, she was good to go.
Koepka, a regular Coke guy. I was just a little surprised. You know, most of the athletes you see out there are going to go Coke Zero, maybe going to go Diet Coke, but he's just going for the heavy Diet Coke diesel. I mean, sorry, the heavy Coke diesel, like no diet involved in the Koepka thing. And I gotta dive into this, Claire, because it's such a golfy thing. And it's something that I struggle with a lot in my golf, but when you don't have it, and you could tell Koepka didn't have it. I thought that's what they did such a great job of in this episode, is setting up this guy's got it in Scottie Scheffler, and this guy doesn't have it. The difference being that this guy used to have it, and he was the most confident player in the world for 3 years. He even said it. I was the best golfer in the world for 3 years. But when you don't have it, and I went through this last year with my golf, Claire, I was playing competitive golf, and it wasn't bad. It just wasn't sharp. And I knew on the first tee it wasn't sharp. And what happens is, it's typically not a bazooka shot or a grenade that derails your golf. It's kind of that death by a thousand cuts situation. And that's what you saw in that opening
Taylor
round
Swift
for Koepka.
There
you go. Like for Koepka, it was that first round was everything that golfers go through when they don't quite have it and they're still searching for it. And it's such a hard thing to find at a major championship, especially at a place like Augusta National, that's now historically one of the toughest places they play year in and year out. My dad used to say to me on the driving range before a tournament, if I was really grinding on the range, like an hour before the tournament, he'd always say, if you ain't got it now, you ain't gonna find it. You know, I mean, Tiger said about warming up, like his dad would say, it's for warming up. But I saw in Koepka a very small percentage of what I feel like I kind of went through last year with my golf, was you kind of can't fake golf. And Koepka was hoping to fake it and show up and just be Brooks Koepka, but his game wasn't quite there. And it's tough to fake it when you don't play and you can't compete with the best players in the world who do have it at that time.
Yeah. And he admitted a lot of things, that he felt embarrassed for the first time, that he lost confidence, things we would never heard him say before. And then he said, it was at the Masters, sitting in the kitchen, and he said, I can't compete with these guys week in and week out. And I was like, oh my gosh. And it kind of reminded me of maybe the way, you know, you see Olympic gymnasts, they have it when they're 17 years old and then life goes on and they're 22. But that doesn't happen in golf. Usually you know that you keep going. So that, again, conflicted about Brooks, but that hurts to hear. You don't like just to have something. And he said, you know, I'd give every dollar I've ever won back from this sport just to have that winning feeling for an hour. Like, he wants that more than anything in the world. And you know, you see it was leaking into his relationship and leaking into every aspect of his life, that you walk away being like, I don't know. And when they asked him what's next, he kind of doesn't know either at this point, obviously.
It's also, I thought it was a beautiful representation of that kind of puppy love in your professional career versus really being in it. Claire, like, think about, I mean, I talked to you about this, you know, like your first big event you went to and your first experience, I know you love media centers, like your first experience in a media center, or your first time asking Tiger Woods a question that happened, you know, at the father's son this year. And you have these experiences and inevitably that's going to lose a bit of its luster. And what happens is, and again, that doesn't mean you don't love what you're doing, you don't love your job. It's just inevitable, right? I mean, passion wanes. It does in personal relationships. It does in professional relationships. It's just going to wane. And you saw Koepka, whose passion, his grind, his game has fallen off a bit. And then they put Scottie Scheffler, this young dude that is the happiest, nicest, chillest dude you will ever see. And you could really feel it in this episode, next to him. And it feels like Scottie right now is in that puppy love situation with the PGA Tour and professional golf where he hadn't got punched yet. You know, he hadn't got beaten by that guy when it felt like it was his tournament to win. And it's inevitably going to happen. I mean, it happened to Tiger. Wei Yang finally beat him, you know, when it looked like Tiger was going to win another major championship. And ever since Wei Yang, it was a lot tougher for Tiger to close out those major championships. It's going to happen to Scottie Scheffler, but Scottie was that young Koepka that won in 17 in 2022, you know?
Right. And at the Masters, and I can't remember what event it was a few weeks later, but it hadn't gotten hard for him yet. Whereas I think a couple of weeks later, we saw him slamming clubs and stuff. And not that the other foot dropped, because obviously he was still playing incredible golf, but you don't see that here, but it does exist even for him. And then I got kind of thinking with the Brooks thing, can you imagine going to work every day and all you're getting is negative feedback? And that's kind of what his game was. It's just, oh, not good, not good. Him putting on, where was he at, Medalist or whatever. And he's like, that was a bad putt. Just so I can't even imagine. Sorry, I'm good at my job. No, I'm just kidding. But like, it just it must be just exhausting. It's going to leak into every aspect of your life. And then I'm watching him, you know, kind of not sulking, but when he's talking to Jenna, and at first, I think if I had seen that without context, I would have said, this guy looks like a jerk. You know, he's not listening to his fiance, which she's so excited. But with context, it's, of course that's going to happen. He's just, nothing is going well for him right then and there. So I don't know. I feel sad for Brooks, but I also feel like he says things that I don't like. So
yeah, he's not made it the easiest to root for him just because he's put on this persona. You know, in a way, and I think this is a real compliment to Brooks Koepka, is in a way it's felt a little bit like the early career of Kobe, you know, where Kobe came on the scene. I'm the best here. Even with Shaq being involved, I should have the rock. I can win these championships. I deserve all the accolades because I'm the best there is. I'll tell Jordan this. Like, I'll literally tell Michael Jordan he can't guard me. I'll go up against guys like MJ, who I idolized, much like Koepka did. If you think about that PGA championship, you know, I mean, he's going up against Tiger Woods and he beats Tiger Woods. Like, what a moment that is for Brooks Koepka in terms of his psyche. And he got another shot at it and Tiger got him that time. But to see Brooks Koepka in the light that he's created felt a little bit like that light Kobe created, where people thought Kobe was a real jerk. And then later in Kobe's career and life, you saw the softer side of Kobe Bryant. And you got to see this guy that was brilliant and was so smart and had this great business mind and wanted to do so much more than just basketball. And I don't know if we'll get there with Brooks Koepka. I don't know if that's in Koepka's next 20 years, but I do feel like there was honesty in this episode with Brooks Koepka about who he is in the current landscape of golf, that at least shows that he's honest about that. Even if he says it in the press conferences, oh, I'm here to win. I can beat everybody here. I'm trying to win the Masters. At least when the quote unquote lights are off, he can admit that I can't compete with these guys, like the quote you brought up.
Yeah. And I really respect Brooks in this episode, because you can tell it is from the past couple of years. It is very difficult for him to be vulnerable. He doesn't want to do it. I think he opened up, he gave us something, but that is not his strong suit. And for him to give us 3% would be his 80%, I think, because it was like pulling teeth, probably getting him to say, he said for the first time in his 32 years, he felt embarrassed. I was like, I've probably felt embarrassed like in my fourth day of life. Like, I live with a fear of embarrassment, you know? I can't even imagine that. He's built so different and wired so differently than I think I am, probably of any player that I just can't relate to, I don't think, in any way. So
I mean, I'm embarrassed of literally every tweet I send out. I'm like, oh God, is that a terrible tweet? Like, I need to make sure that is, what's the feedback like? This could be awful. So yes, I'm with you on that side. Claire, a couple other things. One is just a reminder to people that maybe don't know, Koepka went T2nd, T7th at the Masters in 19 and 20. He's missed the last two cuts at Augusta National. One of my favorite moments of the episode before we get to segments, but just something I wanted to point out, was I don't know if we talk or appreciate in golf the caddy's job as much as we should. I talk a lot about it when the weather's bad, or I really dove into this years ago with Jimmy Johnson and Justin Thomas. It felt like JT's career turned once Jimmy got on the bag. But the Ted Scott line, as they were headed to the first tee on Sunday at the Masters, and he said, "You're not in unfamiliar territory." And then he brought up the God line. It was unbelievable. Think about saying that to a 25-year-old who's standing on the putting green, going to the first tee, trying to win a tournament that young people do not win. Young people don't win the Masters. It doesn't happen right. that often. To say you're not in unfamiliar territory, how calming that must have felt like for Scottie Scheffler to walk to that first tee and go on to win the Masters. Ted Scott is an enormous, enormous, enormous part of last year for Scottie Scheffler.
Agreed. And I actually wrote that exact moment down as my favorite part of the episode because
let's get into it then. There we go.
Yeah.
Let's go. That's the favorite part.
They connect on this. You know, they're both extremely religious, and I think they're a perfect pair because of that. Ted Scott goes on Instagram and does a Sunday sermon every Sunday morning. And that has got to be huge. And Meredith, you know, he said, you know, elsewhere that Scottie was freaking out the night or the morning of, crying. And that's the only thing that calmed him. Meredith saying, like, who are you not to win this event? Why can't you? So I think that they just go so well together. And it almost makes me wish we saw a little bit more Bones in the first episode because the impact of that a caddy has is you can't really give them enough credit, in my opinion.
So that was your favorite part of the episode. It's near the top of my favorite part of the episode. But I think my favorite part of the episode was the Koepka trophy case thing. I've always wondered about that. Like, when you get to a point where you're winning major championships and you're also winning PGA Tour events, what do you do with the trophies? Like, do you put the majors higher? And the fact that he just showcases the major trophies and then just has those empty box areas for more. And Claire, there were a lot of spaces there. I mean, there were a lot of spaces. Like, that's like 7 or 8 or 10 more major championships. I also was wondering, where are the trophies? Like, are they in another room? Do you not even, are they just hidden away? Are they in the garage?
Who knows? And then I liked that he said, you know, the middle is open for the, and you know, from a design standpoint, you walk in the house, these empty things, you got to have like some books or something. And I was like, this is staying empty until I win another major.
Listen, I don't want to be rude here, but do you think Brooks Koepka is just scouring through books all the time? He doesn't scream to me, big book guy, but who knows? Maybe I'm
coffee
wrong.
Coffee table books. You can put those random ones in there. Fill it with something.
Get the golfer zoo. Put it right there. All right. Winner of the episode. Who is the winner of the episode in your mind, Claire?
Two people. Meredith Scheffler. And a side note about this that I really remembered when I saw her in the episode after winning the Masters, she had this beautiful dress on and we did a shoot with Golf Magazine with Scottie like 2 weeks later. And I went up to him and I said, Meredith's dress was beautiful. Like, and he goes, you know, she does rent the runway. She doesn't buy those because they're expensive. And so she rents the dresses. And I was like, I love how down to earth these people are. She's not buying the $600 dress. She's, you know, it's like a library card. You're just borrowing it and then returning it, which I liked. And then whoever the producer was that said, yes, you do. When Brooks said, I don't know who won the Masters this
year. Yes. Is that Chad? Shout out to Chad if that was you, by the way. That was amazing. Yes, you do. Yeah, but you're so right. It was such a moment that, you know, it's like when you meet, like as a guy, it's like when I meet a girl I liked or I dated and I say the wrong guy's name that she's dating now. So she's dating like Kevin and I'll be like, so how's Kent? You know, and you're like, you know, his name is Kevin. You're just being an asshole and saying Kent.
Yeah.
Like that was one of those moments to me. It's like, I don't remember who won it. You're like,
It was
the guy that won 4 times in 3 months. Right. You know?
Let's say it was Chad, but I don't think I would have the spine to say that. I would never give that. I wouldn't say it. So I don't know. I thought that was great. Who was your winner of the episode?
It was Scottie. I mean, he didn't get as much airtime as Koepka, but I mean, he's such an easy person to root for. I got a chance to do some Scottie Scheffler interviewing in my Fox days when he was doing like USGA stuff. And then when he was low amateur at Erin Hills, that's also funny. He was low amateur when Koepka wins, his first major championship. And then of course, you know, I mean, now we flipped to 2023 and things have changed. Also a quiet winner was the waffle fries Nike hoodie that Koepka had on at the end of the episode. Big fan of that hoodie. Never seen it before, but the waffle fries. I've heard Koepka's like, even though he's a Nike guy, I've heard he'll scour the internets for like, you know, hot drops and sneaker app stuff like that. And he'll buy it himself.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if that was one of those, but I love the waffle hoodie.
Very cool. Who was the loser of the episode for you?
You know what? I want to first call out a loser of the episode. He's a friend of yours.
Please do.
A friend of mine. Both love him. Dylan DeShare said, anyone that is anyone has won at Augusta National. Now, I understand that winning at Augusta National is an enormous part of a career in men's professional golf. Ernie Els, he's not somebody. He never won at Augusta. Weisskopf, Greg Norman. I know the names been tainted a bit over the last couple of years, but he had a pretty damn good career. Rory McIlroy isn't a nobody. So I get where DeSchuyler was going. I know it can be a throwaway line about you kind of have to win this to be somebody. I don't think you have to win the Masters to be somebody. I think it definitely helps you become a very important person in golf.
So I also heard that line and I was like, Danny Willett's going to like to hear that one. Like these guys,
you went the other way. I like that.
Not saying he's a nobody, obviously, but like these like guys who win the Masters and then they get to go to the dinner every year, but you don't hear much about them for, I'm like, all right, he's going to like to hear that.
But my real loser of the episode is a little bit what we talked about earlier is the Koepka's consistent and constant push to downplay the coolness of golf. Because again, that it's like finding out about a brand 5 years before it's cool and then trash talking that brand. Like, no, man, you were there early. You got into golf right before it popped. Embrace this. You're cool. You're a cool golfer in a cool sport. And just the constant need to push it down drives me a little batty, as we talked about earlier. So that, I think, to me is the real loser this episode. What about for you?
Mine was like my jaw dropped when he said he didn't know who won the Masters.
Okay.
I hated that because first of all, that's simply not true. People who don't like golf know who won the Masters. It's just, it's common knowledge. And then he was saying, Scotty can go out and shoot 63. Scotty can do this. Scotty can do this. So you are paying attention to Scotty. Do not pretend you don't know. Like exactly what you said. Like, I don't know the name of so-and-so's new boyfriend or girlfriend. That sat with me the wrong way. That is a huge thing to say that you don't know who I could, you know what? It's like, what's a smaller tournament that maybe you might not know who won it if it's a newer player or something? You cannot say you don't know who won the Masters. Right. And I will not forget that moment either. That's like sticking with me.
I kind of didn't remember that Spieth won the Heritage until the first episode. Like, I kind of remembered it, but, you know, it's the week after the Masters, and it's a sleepy week, and it's a casual week. Like, I didn't totally – if you'd have asked me before that episode, hey, who won RBC, I probably would have got the Spieth. It would have taken me a second. But to your point, like, you know who won the NBA championship. You know who won the Super Bowl. You know who won the Masters. Like,
who the president is.
You're in golf. Like you're in the sport of golf. Like if I ask you who won a rugby championship, I can at least understand maybe you don't know that. But when you play pro golf and you're on Ryder Cup and President's Cup teams with these guys, like, come on. What's a golf thing to you that needs more explanation from the episode?
Well, actually, I went a different way with this.
Okay.
I think something that you probably have something. I didn't have anything. I thought they really did something that they really did well was nailing the Tiger comeback kind of at Augusta.
Yep.
Like this guy could have been dead, could have lost his leg. It's a miracle that he can walk again. The fact that he is here, I think they laid that out really nicely for fans. What would be the thing that you think needed more explaining?
So I think that, you know, if you're not a big golf person and you're just watching this series and you're looking for reaction and you're listening to us, they talked about the Scheffler run and they gave a little bit of love to his wins, but he was 25 at the time. 25-year-olds don't typically win four times from the middle of February through the middle of April, including the Masters. He lost a playoff a few weeks after that for a fifth win, basically before halfway point in the season. What Scotty Scheffler did last year is very, very unusual in our sport, and it should be very, very celebrated. So I just, again, when you win the Masters when you're a young person, Jordan Spieth did it. Most Masters winners are in their, you know, early 30s, late 30s, stuff like that. When you win it when you're 25, it's the most elite group in all of sport, okay? It's more elite than the Hall of Fame in the NFL or anything they do at Wimbledon. Being in that room for the Champions Dinner and being a part of Masters lore is the most important part of golf as a professional, and it's why this event is so important. And when you win it when you're 25, for the rest of your life, every April, you're going to be there with the young winners. You're going to be there with the past champions and the legends of the game, and you're going to rub shoulders there. And when you do it young, you get to now live through guys like Hideki winning it and Scheffler winning it. You know, you think about Jordan Spieth being so young when he won. He gets to be there for Scheffler's dinner and for Hideki's dinner and for Adam. You know, it's so special to be a part of that. And I just feel like it's worth pointing that out a little bit more, is that what Scheffler did at Augusta is rare and it's very cool and it should be as celebrated as maybe we celebrated it at the time.
Yeah, I think almost, I don't want to say I was desensitized to it because it was so talked about for us, but yeah, people don't know that at all. And what you said is exactly right. I think That honestly probably could have been an episode on its own. Just Scottie Scheffler from his first win to his most recent one is insane. And side note, can we talk about him talking to Ted and being like, Meredith used to eat popcorn
so amazing,
like in the bed and get crumbs ever. It just the way, and then he said, you know, he's really relaxed in between shots, and then, you know, he's totally focused. But that was the perfect example of it, where like, what is he talking about, and how did that come up? But who knows?
I mean, the amount of things that have been talked about on the golf course over the years and decades and centuries of people just were standing around for 4 hours. What do you want to talk about?
Exactly.
And also, Claire, can I ask you a question? Are you an eater in bed? Or do you eat food in bed?
No. But if I'm on a work trip, I always get a room with two beds. So if I'm bringing food back, you eat one, but you sleep in the other one.
Okay. Popcorn seems like the last pick of a food you'd want to eat in bed. It just seems like it's just impossible not to just make a total
but
mess.
But if you're watching a movie in a hotel room, I get that. Maybe.
Maybe you either strip the sheets or you totally cover them and you like lay on top of them. But if those, it's like sand, if they get in, you're not getting it out of there. Like it's going to be in there forever. What's something you learned on this episode, Claire?
So we already kind of went over like the Brooke stuff, learned that he felt embarrassed, but I thought it was awesome to see the like inside, like the registration room for the Masters and stuff and all the photos on the wall. And also I don't want to get like, you know, canceled by Augusta, but the room was kind of just like an office.
Right.
And then it happened to have all these cool photos on the wall. I don't know why I was expecting like gold lined, like wallpaper or something, but I thought that was really cool that you got that look inside, you know, the clubhouse and stuff.
Claire's not going to get picked now for the Masters lottery after that comment. I see how that goes. I got something I learned. I wrote it. It's just one sentence I wrote down. I learned that a pool cover up doesn't actually have to cover up anything. I didn't know that.
It's a fashion statement.
Okay. In my mind, I thought that it would need to at least cover up something, and that wasn't going to cover up anything. Nope. Something you changed your mind on. Anything?
Again, I've said it five times in this, but Brooks, I changed my mind on him 8 times in the episode. I'd be like, oh, I really respect. Oh, he said that. Oh, so it went up and down. But when he said like, this is the worst I've ever struggled in my whole life, I felt sympathy for him. And I feel weird saying you feel bad for like a 4-time major champion, but I don't think I've ever felt that for him before, but him opening up allowed me to. So that would be kind of something.
I would say it made me feel different things for Brooks Koepka that I haven't felt before. So I think that you're spot on with that. I was struck by the honesty as well. That's kind of one of the things I wrote down, was just how honest he was about his golf game. And how he was basically saying, I'm not competitive enough right now to beat these guys in the big events that I care so much about. I love that. And again, I've thought about this a lot this past year, but you know, remember when Rappaport asked Tiger in his press conference, do you think you can win? And he just said, you know, like, yes. Tiger's always said that. I don't know if Tiger believed it when he said it. I mean, as we saw, not just throughout that week, but really throughout 2022 with Tiger Woods, physically just wasn't there to win. Could he make the cut? Absolutely. Could he, you know, shoot a round under par? Absolutely. But to play 4 rounds better than the best players in the world in that state for Tiger Woods, he probably couldn't win. And I almost feel like he probably didn't believe what he was saying at the time. He just knew he needed to say it. I was struck by Koepka being as honest as he would, saying, you know, like, these guys are better than me. You know, when I was the best in the world, I didn't think about anything. I guarantee you Scottie Scheffler's thinking about nothing on the golf course. Why am I thinking about everything? Just to hear from a guy that had been at the top of the mountain talking about why he's not at the top of the mountain anymore is something we don't see much in active sport. You might get it when they retire, but to get it from an active player, I thought was really cool. And it was something that changed my mind a little bit on Brooks Koepka, just as a realist, I guess, more than anything.
Yeah. And it should, like you've said a few times on our podcast before, like injuries, like we hear that a player is injured and then that's kind of it, but we're not there for the day in and day out of it. And that's kind of what this gave us with Brooks, where it's really hard to be a professional athlete. It's not all, you know, free stuff and the glorious life. It's when things aren't going your way, which is more often than not in golf. It is so tough to get, like, do normal things. It just consumes every part of you.
What the average golf fan, what you think average golf fans could get out of this episode, people that don't watch golf, you know, religiously, or maybe are just getting into golf. I have that golf has villains. I mean, we know that golf has villains. Live in the PGA Tour, as we get deeper into this series, I can only imagine we'll dive deeper into that idea. But when you think about the sport of golf, kind of like what we were talking about before the Tiger boom, you know, golf was an old guy sport. It was kind of nerdy. Like if you weren't athletic, you played it. Just showing that there are true villains in the sport and there are people that can rub other people the wrong way or that are brash or say some of the stuff Koepka said. I think that's nice for people to learn that that exists in our sport.
Definitely. I agree with that. And then it was only, you know, the first couple minutes of the episode, but anyone who isn't familiar with the Phoenix Open and how cool the 16th hole is, and maybe think, you know, golf tournaments are all this quiet, you know, hush hush thing where you have to be on your best behavior. I think that shows, obviously it's a small percentage of the sport, but it does exist and it's awesome and people love it. So I think it would get people very excited about that.
Yeah. I thought, if you had to rank, which one you liked more in terms of the first two episodes we've seen so far, did you like this one more than the first one or do you lean more towards Jordan and Justin?
So I think I had more of an emotional reaction to this one, which I can't decide if that means I liked it more. I definitely had stronger feelings about it. So I think maybe after we do the last episode, we should like rank all of them. But right now I'm not sure because they were so different. But I definitely, I reacted to this one more strongly. What about you?
Oh, totally. I mean, same. I think I said in the first episode that there wasn't a ton I learned from Jordan and Justin, just because I've covered them for so long around so many events. I feel like I learned more from this episode. I mean, I learned that Koepka can put up 225. Like he said it, but I saw it. You know, I don't know if Brooks Koepka can drive a boat. I mean, he walked out on the pier and I was thinking him and his dog were going to get the boat. And then they just awkwardly sat at the end of the pier. And I was thinking in my head, can he drive that boat? Does he have to have somebody else drive the boat?
Yeah.
Like, these are the things that I feel like I was really thinking about in this episode.
Right.
And then again, a glimpse into Scotty and his life, a glimpse into Brooks and his life. It just shows that you can really go about this totally different ways and in theory end up, you know, at the same result. So so far, two episodes in, I think it's been great.
Yeah, I think that's an awesome point you just made too. I think a lot of people who don't know golf think that they're all the same cookie cutter players. If you might think it's boring, these guys could not be more different, right? And they're going to see that with more and more players, like who travels with their families, who doesn't, things like that. So I'm excited.
We didn't get a glimpse into the wedding or anything like that on the back end. I thought maybe they'd sprinkle that in at the last, like what the Koepka's wedding looked like. That might be like in the outtakes or something like that for this whole thing.
It's but also on Instagram.
I was going to say, just go watch all the stories. Claire, thanks so much. Big shout out to Scratch for the help with this. Full swing tonight, and we'll be back for more episodes. Make sure you give Claire a follow at K Claire Rogers. You can check out all her writing, videos, a lot of fun stuff. Like Claire brings fun things to your phone and to your computer. That's all at golf.com. Shout out to the crew there, and shout out to Dylan DeShare. Has been a fixture through a couple episodes, even if I said he was a loser this episode. We'll be back with episode 3, and make sure you check out all of our recaps from Full Swing.